The Jazz Spotlight, Episode 89.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Well, hello there, Jan Ilunga here with the third season of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. To say that I'm pumped, I think it's really an understatement. I'm so happy the show is back. I hope you had a fantastic summer and you're ready for a new exciting season of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. In case it's your first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. As I said, my name is Jan Ilunga and I'm your host, your friend, your teacher, your interviewer. And in this show, I interview artists, music industry experts who provide inspiration and advice that are gonna help you carve your space in the music industry. And today we have our returning guest, my good friend, or actually I should say my Australian brother, Steve Polferman. And he was here with us toward the beginning of the podcast in season one, and is back to tell us more about community and music launches. And he has been working on something so exciting, and you're gonna love it. And you're gonna hear more about that in a second when the interview starts. Before we do that, a quick note. For today's episode, you find the show notes with the links to everything Steve and I cover during our interview at thejazzspotlight.com/episode89. Okay, here it is. Community and music launches with Steve Polferman. I'm so pumped about who's joining us back. And I was checking, I think we did our interview almost 2 years ago, if not 2 years ago, which was crazy. Episode 11 or 12, I don't remember the top of my head. And I'm so excited to have him back. And he's here to tell us more about the virtual summit of the year. I mean, if you are in the music industry, it doesn't matter what you are, if you're an indie artist, if you're an artist manager, if you're a festival organizer, it doesn't matter. You have to check out the Music Launch Summit, which is happening right now. I mean, it started today and it goes all the way to October 5th. And the host, the brain, the mind behind it is here with us and is back on the show. I'm thrilled to welcome back Steve Polferman. Steve, how's it going, brother?
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me back. I feel super lucky.
Man, I feel quite old to think that our interview was done, what, a couple of years ago? It's crazy. Time really flies, huh?
And how much has changed since then? But I think the coolest part is that since that interview, that was the gateway to us becoming friends and working together on more things. And it just goes to show what can happen when you invite somebody into your corner. Hey.
I couldn't agree more. And you know, it's the power of relationships, and technology definitely helps us. And yeah, you and I have been doing so many different things, calls. I hosted a virtual summit some time ago, and I remember even before then you and I had been talking about what you have in storage that is happening right now, the Music Launch Summit. So the music marketing, the Music Launch Virtual Summit of the year. So Steve, since you're here with all of us, two things. First of all, can you tell, in case there is somebody joining us who doesn't know what a virtual summit is, can you tell them what it is? And then can you share more details on the Music Launch Summit?
Yeah, totally. So I'm kind of likening it to the easiest way to access the type of information that you would get at physical conferences like South by Southwest here in Australia, Big Sound, places like the Great Escape in England. and getting that content, but having it accessible no matter where you are in the world without the big ticket prices, and actually getting more of the questions that you probably have in your mind asked. And I say that because a lot of the time, like, I love going to physical conferences, but a lot of the time you get people who have been in the industry for the decades, and they're just asking about stories, but you don't really get that how-to approach.
Right.
And so all the guests have a full hour where they just get to talk about their strategies on their specific area of focus. And each session goes up for a few days. And so there's 3 weeks to consume all of the 40 plus interviews. And it's taking the best of the physical world and fusing it with the best that we can do at the moment in the online space, and just giving accessibility to information to artists like me that need these questions answered.
I love it. And I mean, as you said, you're right. Basically, we take the best of the offline world and we make it available to everybody, regardless of where they are. So if you're here with Steve and I, and maybe you're consider yourself a very busy person, you can still learn from 40 plus music industry experts completely for free whenever you want, whether that's when you're having breakfast or when you're having dinner or whatever. And to give you an idea of the caliber of the lineup we're talking about here, we have some of the past guest experts of the Jazz Spotlight podcast, like Ariel Hyatt, Dave Cusack, we have Andrew Apanov, Graham Cochran, James Wassum, and many, many others. So as I said early on, whether you're an indie artist, you're an established artist, you're a manager, you're anyways involved in the music industry, you don't want to miss it out. And you're going to find, like always, a link to the summit and everything else Steve and I talk about in the show notes. And if you're maybe in front of your computer or you have your phone, you can sign up directly for the summit. As Steve said, it's free and you have a few weeks to access everything. And the link is thejazzspotlight.com/music-launch. Okay, Steve, so the next question I think I have to ask you has to do with the name of the summit itself or the topic, because it's Music Launch Summit. So when we think about Music Launch, and this can be based on your own experience, since I know you're a musician yourself, or maybe from based on some of the answers you've gotten by doing these interviews, what would you say are some of the common mistakes indie artists make when it comes to launching their music or even the planning of the launch strategy?
That's such a good question. There's so many. That's right. Why I think and each session is literally focused at solving individual mistakes that I've made, that I see other people make, that my private clients make or have made in the past. And that's why there's, like, you know, so many different people needing to be in this summit. I started off thinking I'd just have 15, 20, and it just kept going, and I kept right. going, I need to cover this area. But one of the biggest ones that I think is important to touch on is it's really easy to see a launch as the same thing as a release, but they're not. Just putting out music is not a launch. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the name comes from, because I want people to see that anything they do should be seen as a launch. And a launch is really just a bunch of different strategic moves to build hype and momentum to go to that next step. Whereas a release, most of the time, it's easy to get that confused, because we go, well, if I put my music out, I'm going to get to the next step. Well, you actually are more likely or not frustrated because you're not getting to the next step. And that's because you're throwing your music out there right. as a release. So I see, and I've done that plenty of times myself. So mm-hmm. failing to have a plan to actually build momentum and knowing where you're going is really the overall misstep that I see people making. But there's stacks. I mean, one of the sessions is just looking with Carrie Cole, just looking at big missteps that artists make. So we've got a full session just on that one thing. And I think that's really important to consider, that there are a lot of pieces to this puzzle and we don't have to do them all at once, but we should just pick out the things that are important to us, so we start building that plan, like you've mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, and also to touch on what you just said, Steve, I think that one of the kind of mistakes that comes up is because of technology nowadays. We think, well, I can use so many different platforms to throw my music out there that, you know, I just, as you said, I just share it and great, I'm gonna be ready for the next step. But actually, it's so that you're not the only one who has access to all these different platforms. Other artists do have those possibilities as well, which means that the noise is increases in the space. So if you want to carve out your space, you want to reach out your fans or even new fans who may be on the other side of the world, you really have to make sure that you put some thoughts into the whole process and you come up with a plan, with a strategy that can really help you. And you said that the session with Kerry Cole focuses on this thing, so that's definitely one of the sessions you should make sure you bookmark. And if we think about technology, Steve, and always keeping the music launch process at the back of our minds, what would you say are some of the tools or technology-related steps that every indie artist should take when it comes to launching?
That's awesome. And I really like a moment ago where you're saying how, you know, it feels really difficult to step out of the noise because there's, you know, every artist is everywhere. I actually think that's one of the big problems is that we feel like we need to be everywhere, whereas it's what you do with a platform that matters. And I would say to anyone right now, figuring out what your strengths are is the most important thing, hands down. And if your strength as an artist, for example, is how funny you can be with your friends, then you should be spending like 80, 90% of your time on Instagram being funny to your audience and finding people who think you're funny while you share your music story, your story of being a creative person. And so I'd say take things out and start going, well, what makes the most sense for me? What's something I'm going to enjoy doing? Where are some places that I want to hang out with people? And then start making somewhere that they can come and hang out with you. I think a Facebook group is one of the most important things that bands should have, or at least some place where your fans can come and engage with you. Email is a good place to do that. A membership site is a good place to do that. Andrew Apanov from WeSpin talks about creating that central hub for your fans to come in and get more from you. I mean, every artist should be on social media, but you don't have to be on every one. And I would say it's great to be on Facebook. It's great to be on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. It's great to do those things. If you want to be on Periscope because you want to live stream, awesome. But take stuff away is actually the main takeaway that I would say here, and go all in on one or two places that you feel really strongly about. As an example, my band at the moment, my singer's focusing on Instagram while I'm busy putting the summit together. And when I get back, I know our strength is going to be visual albums. So we've got an old record to relaunch and a new live album, and they're both visual. And all we're going to do is focus heavily on Instagram because that's where he's spending his time at the moment, and building that email list. And that's our strategy. That's it for the moment. And we're going to see how that goes. And that's come from us doing many, many launches going, damn, we did a lot of stuff, but we didn't get much traction. And I think that's one of the things where you get stuck and where you get put off keeping trying. And it's usually when you're trying to do too many things at once.
And Steve, if people want to follow your band, Winter York, where is the hub or the main social media platform you would like to direct people to?
Yeah, totally. I would say winteryork.com is the main place at the moment. It's just a waiting page. I took down our whole website before this launch because I'm like, it's not doing anything. I'm just going to collect some email addresses in the meantime. But at the moment, the journey is all happening on Instagram, which is Winter York Music. So come and follow us. There is some really ridiculous stuff going on. and you'll see a totally different side of me too.
Nice. So Winter York Music on Instagram. And I mean, Steve, there is so much gold in what you just shared with us, because you talked about the fact that really nowadays it feels like every month there is a new social media platform. So it can feel very overwhelming because we hear people who are having success on Snapchat and we think, okay, I should be on Snapchat too. And then we hear about Periscope, and we're like, okay, I should be on Periscope too. And it can be very, very overwhelming. But like you said, it's about figuring out one's strength. So for example, if visual isn't your thing, maybe Instagram isn't for you. If maybe you feel comfortable in front of a camera, but at the same time you also like to be pretty informal, then you can consider something like Periscope or Facebook Live. And Steve, you talked about the critical role of having a place where the fan base, the community, the raving fans can come together. So not only they have access to you as an artist, but also to each other. And I know you have been really working hard, not only on the summit, but even before that, on building a community on Facebook. So can you tell all of us a little bit more about some of the lessons you have learned in terms of, you know, what role having a space like that can do? Have you seen something that really left you, you know, like that blew you away for how people have interacted with one another and or with you or something like that?
Mm. Totally. Honestly, every day I wake up and since it started, and I've been overwhelmed with the response. Maybe because I really didn't know if people were going to want it, or what if they were going to come and interact. But the sheer fact that there are people from all corners of the globe are coming together and working together, regardless of whether they're just starting out, regardless of whether they've been in the industry for ages, whether they're a music industry pro or an artist. They're there actively participating. And, you know, not everybody's participating all the time. Like, that would mm-hmm. be impossible, but there's people weaving in and out. And that's just awesome. When somebody asks a question and there's a bunch of people saying, hey, here are some ideas, my heart just warms because I'm like, this is all I ever, could have ever hoped for. Mm-hmm. I think the big lesson in it is, one, if you've thought about creating something like this, just do it. If you're not sure about how you're going to do it, start with email, mm-hmm. because that's you can start building that interaction, that relationship with lots of people at once. And that's a really great, simple way to get started. And then when you're ready to step up and lead a little more, then a group is such a great place to do it. The most interesting thing that I've found is I was worried that there wouldn't be much industry coming in and offering a helping hand because mm-hmm. I know how much they've got on their plate. And I'm actually now actively doing a call out to artists to say, come in. And I know there's artists in there. And if anybody happens to be listening and you're an artist inside the group already and you haven't introduced yourself, please do, because it is so much more fun and there's so much to gain by stepping out of the shadows. And for anybody listening, come and, especially if you're an artist, come and hang out, because I'm seeing far more industry people being really active, and I thought it was going to be the other way around. So that's been fascinating, but interesting at the same time.
And I think really from the logistics side of things, because if one doesn't know much about the behind the scenes of, for example, like in your case, Steve, the Music Launch Hub, one may think that, I need to spend thousands of dollars and I need to have a team of three or four people. But actually nowadays with Facebook and Facebook Live and some scheduling tools, it's relatively easy, right, to manage a community like that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you will have seen the posts that I have in each day. I switched early on to a cheaper tool that does it, but it's called Post Planner. Mm-hmm. So if you're worried about being active in there and you want to be able to automate some posts coming out, use Post Planner and have some, you can be asking your community stuff. Hey, what are your favorite songs? Who are your favorite bands? It's right. Not just for business stuff that this makes sense. It's, you could have Tell All Fridays and have that post there to go, you know, tell us your story of the week. Tell us what's making you happy and what's making you sad, and start getting people to open up. There's a lot of groups out there that are a bit spammy. But just remember that you get to choose you get to choose how you want your group to behave. And if you want to go, hey, I want this to be a place where people can just come and chat and interact, then make it that way. But tools, Post Planner, that's literally all you need to not have to be in there constantly. And if you've got each band member as an admin, for example, then you can set days, you know, like right. Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, old Bob is taking care of the community. And then, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Paulie is jumping in. And that would be interesting too for people to be like, it's Friday, you know, Stephanie's going to be in here talking to us. Awesome. I want to talk to that band member. There's so many different ways to manage it. It's mm-hmm. just once again, like not worrying about all those different things because you can figure them out as you go.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I always say when people say, yeah, I'm super busy, I don't know if I could do it. I always say, look, I'm sure you can find 10 to 15 minutes in the morning or early afternoon and 10 to 15 minutes in the evening to just jump on the group and maybe answer questions and things like that. Because it's important to keep in mind that I know, like in your case, Steve, you have a global community because I'm also part of the Music Launch Hub. So keep in mind that you may have people in different time zones. So ideally, regardless of where you are, try if you're having a community like a Facebook group or something like that, try to jump in the group a couple of times per day. So maybe in the morning and then in the evening so that you kind of get to communicate with people who are in different time zones. And Steve, if we circle back to the... Actually, before we circle back, I have to add one thing because maybe people are wondering, well, okay, how can I join the Facebook group you guys have been talking about? Well, just sign up for the Music Launch Summit. Again, it's completely for free. And then you're going to get instructions on how to access the sessions and how to access the Facebook group so that you get direct access to Steve, to myself, to other music industry professionals, as well as artists and many other great people who are part of the Music Launch Hub. All right, Steve. So if we circle back to the music launch part of our conversation, if you were to break down, obviously this is a bit generalizing because each artist, each band is different, but if you were to kind of try and dissect the music launch process, what would you say are some of the steps that quote unquote need to be taken before the launch happens, during the launch, and even if there are some things for after the launch?
That's a really good point. So there's a workshop that I did recently that all the VIP pass holders have access to, and it's a walkthrough of this. But I'll try and give it all to you as quickly as I can here. So there's three cycles that I believe, and this has been confirmed after talking to all these experts. This was initially my feeling after doing many many launches of my own projects and of other people's. There's three different cycles we go through, and here's another one of the missteps. Most of the time we're hanging out in cycle two, but we're forgetting about one and three. And the most important one is actually one, then three, then two. And even right now in this launch, I'm very aware that I would have liked to have spent more time in number one before doing this launch, but that'll be something that I readjust next time. So mm-hmm. the first place is cycle number one can last for quite a long time, and it's the intrigue cycle. Cycle number two is the launch itself. Mm-hmm. It's the release phase, and that's quite a short phase. That's where you go out for the ask. And the last one is support. Cycle number three is support, where you support the launch. You continue the message, but you get ready to move on as well. And let me just come back to intrigue because it's mm-hmm. really, really important. Most people go straight to number two because they finish their record and they go, I need to get this out to people, or I'm so sick of this. Let's get it out. which I totally understand. You want to show people, you know, you're happy with what you've done, and you just want to get it out there. And you think that in itself, the creation of that is the launch. But if there's nobody there who understands what you've been through to get to that, then you haven't used the huge opportunity you have to draw people in and get them excited, emotionally connected to what mm-hmm. you're doing before you go in for the ask. Now, as an artist, one of the things that we are so afraid of is being an accidental spammer or coming across like we're pushy or we're a marketer. But if every single time that we forget to do cycle number one properly and we go straight to putting out the music and asking our friends to come to shows and looking for those PR things, we're becoming a spammer by total accident because we're going me, me, me. Hey, right. Hey, I want something from you. And I know it feels like you're giving your music to other people, but they don't feel that way unless they're drawn in first. So cycle number one, intrigue. This is where you tell your story. This is where you put the foundations in place. If you come to the summit and watch Yarn Session, I really think you should. You'll learn the sort of strategies that you can use in using email and your website and social mm-hmm. media to literally hang out in the intrigue stage and have those foundations ready before you go to launch. I think it's such an important part of the summit. But there's so many other pieces to that puzzle, and most of it is intrigue. And it's how do you draw connections with people? It's how do we tell our story in different ways? How do we go and ramp up our Instagram following before we go and put something out? Hang out in intrigue stage. And if you're there doing mini launches in the process, you totally can. Hey guys, we've done a demo. Here it is. You can avoid going for the big launch for quite some time if you're giving out great stuff. And and then just the last little bit, I'm not even going to talk about number two because artists do that all the time. they throw their stuff out, and that's good. It needs to be done. But number three is remembering that you've got fans and you've built momentum after you've put music out. And if you don't follow up and if you don't give them more stuff straight up, then you lose all the good work that you've done, and that's where you start feeling stuck. So, there's a lot more to it, but you don't have to do everything once again. If you're not sure what to do after I describe that stuff, I'll just say this one thing. Go away and sit down by yourself and go, who is my fan and what do they want from me? Mm-hmm. And just explore that concept and then go, what's one thing I could do today to connect with them a little bit deeper than I did yesterday? And if you just think about that, that's one place to start. All the other building blocks can be pieced in later. A lot of them will be, every building block you need is at the summit pretty much. Right. But just start thinking about your audience first. And then when you come to the summit, you'll have a far better understanding of what to look for to then implement. And that's, I think, a really important thing. Just a little side note for people that do come to the summit, you shouldn't come and think I need to watch 47 sessions all in 3 weeks, but you should watch a lot of them, and a lot of people will want to watch them over time, and there's the VIP pass for that. But the most important thing is knowing what you want to get out of it, because you mm-hmm. should pick the 10 sessions that you need to see based on what you want to achieve now. And how you figure out what to achieve now is starting with what's my fan, what am I going to give them, where am I going to get stuck, and then you can come and learn the things that you need to learn to build that intrigue stage. And 80% of the summit is all about intrigue.
Amen to that. And I think, Steve, you are really on point when you basically, you should look at the Music Launch Summit as a buffet where you could have everything you want, but of course, Steve said it, it's not that you have to attend every single session, just pick those that relate the most to you or that cover a topic you want to learn about. And Steve, I love the fact that you talked about these three cycles, because as I was listening to you, I was like, yeah, our entire conversation is really coming full circle. Because if we think about the intrigue, and if we think about early on when we talked about a Facebook group or a membership site or using email to communicate with our fans, to build a community where people can interact with each other. If we have something like that in place, once it's time for us to really launch and focus on steps 2 and 3, we won't worry so much that maybe people feel that we are spammy, because people have been in contact with us the whole time, or quite often because of our emails or our Facebook group or whatever. So when is our time to ask for support, ask for help, promote our EP, whatever the case may be, people are going to be like, hey, absolutely, I want to help Steve out. But as you well pointed out, Steve, many artists kind of skip the intrigue part and they focus so much on, hey, buy my album right now or listen to my music right now. Especially, and that doesn't work, especially if there isn't any relationship, there isn't any emotional element that is part of the equation. And Steve, this has been really fantastic. I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for what you do day after day, for putting together the Music Launch Summit, for coming back here on the podcast. Again, for your reminder, you find the links to the Music Launch Summit, everything else, Winter York, everything else Steve and I have talked about in the show notes. And Steve, to wrap it up, I have two quick questions. The first one is, if somebody would like to reach out to you and maybe ask you a question, I mentioned that you all, of course, in the Facebook group, but if somebody has maybe a question they want to ask you kind of one-on-one, what is the best way to do that?
I'm always, if it's short, feel free to send me a tweet. I'm on Twitter. I'm sure the link will be below. Facebook group is honestly the place where I'll get back to you the fastest because that's where I'm spending most of my time. And even if it is, and I will really encourage this because even if you think it's something that you want to talk about one-on-one, I know other people will probably be wondering the same thing.
Yeah,
so a huge encouragement to coming and asking there. You will also get more than just my opinion. But if it is something deeper, and especially if it's something about the summit, send me an email. I will get back to you. So it's steve@musiclaunchhub.com. Do send me an email. I do love getting emails, but the fastest response will be in the Facebook group.
Love it. Thank you, Steve. And to wrap it up, do you have any final words of encouragement or any challenge, anything like that for our listeners?
Last bit I'll say is come and just try and find one thing that you want to action. And I think that's the most important thing is watching a session and taking something away and actioning it. And when you do, like I'm already giving extra special time to the early VIP pass holders because they're already putting in the work. The summit even, when we're talking, the summit even hasn't started and right. They're putting in work and I'm giving them stacks of extra time. So if you want extra time from me, come and put in the work. Come and show me that you're doing stuff. Come and share your lessons with other people. The more open you are, the more care and attention I'll give to your launch process. But it all starts with you taking those steps. And I can't wait to see what you learn at the summit.
Love it. Steve, thank you so much, brother. I always have a blast talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the inspiration and the forever encouragement. You're a true star.
My pleasure. And we are back, Steve. Again, brother, thank you so much for being back here on the Jazz Spotlight podcast. And like always, for simply R-O-C-K-I-N-G, for simply rocking this interview. And you heard it, Steve has put together this digital conference completely for free, the Music Launch Summit. And as we said earlier, you find the links with the links to everything Steve and I touched on, including the Music Launch Summit, at thejazzspotlight.com/episode89. You might have noticed, if you've been with me before, you might have noticed it's a brand new website, and that's because I wanted to, first of all, revamp things up a little bit, but also because I'm working on some exciting things just for you that I can't wait to share very, very soon. For now, the next step is to make sure that you grab your free virtual pass for the Music Launch Summit. I'm going to be speaking there as well on Thursday, September 22nd, and the session Steve and I host is about... Or actually, the title of the session is called How to Bring Your Digital Marketing to Life from Funnels to Email Marketing. Here's your Digi class. So mark your calendar Thursday, September 22nd. And the session has been pre-recorded, which means that it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You can access it there. And of course, you have 40 plus other great speakers as part of this unique event, Music Launch Summit. This is it for today. Jan Ilunga here. Thank you so very much for joining Steve Polferman and I in this first episode of the third season of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Have a great day.